listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
KFUO Shareathon 2026 is April 30th through May 2nd. It's right around the corner. It's a time of gratitude, stories, and opportunities to give. Today, we'll chat with President Harrison, and later in the program, we'll get a brief preview from Mary and Pastor Gribenaugh about what is to come in Shareathon 2026.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and a frequent guest here on The Coffee Hour. Pastor Harrison, welcome back.
Hey guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Yeah.
And we thought it would be fun to get to discuss a topic of your choice. And we know that you're a historian. You love church history. So we narrowed it down out of 1,200 topics. Tell us, who was Hermann Zassa?
Well, I asked Robert Price at the end of his life. In fact, he wrote a little something for me at the end of his life on Hermann Zassa and some interaction that he had with him. But Robert Price said, the three greatest theologians of the 20th century were Werner Ehlert, Francis Pieper, and Hermann Zassa. Hermann Zassa was a German. He grew up in the Church of the Old Prussian Union, was born and raised in that church, became a pastor in that church, ordained in 1920, became embroiled deeply in the controversies over National Socialism, was a compatriot of Bonhoeffer's, ended up becoming a Book of Concord Lutheran against all odds. His church had subverted the Book of Concord century before, and then he bore witness to Lutheranism throughout his life and became a very close friend of the Missouri Synod. In a nutshell, died in 1976, 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That is 50 years ago. That's true. Mm-hmm. Let's unpack the state of, I mean, a lot of us know some detail about the state of the German government in the 1930s, but the state of the German government, but also the state of the Lutheran Church in Germany at that time. You mentioned some things about the Book of Concord and the Prussian Union. What was that state of the Lutheran Church at that time?
It was largely theological chaos. I don't know. When I was a kid, an uncle gave me one of those big old radio cabinets, you know, with a radio, tube radio, and I would sneak at all hours and listen to that when my parents didn't know I was listening to it at night, listening to Wolfman Jack and some other things. And it was like a whole world came coming into that little 900-square-foot house in my tiny bedroom at 2400 South Cornelia Street, Sioux City, Iowa, 3/4 mile from the Missouri River. Every Sunday morning, I remember a show where this guy would come on. I think his name was Vern Benham Grimsley. And he would walk up to people and say, what do you think about religion? And everybody assumed he was some kind of evangelical or something. But then he would propose that religion is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. And of course, who can't agree with that kind of religion? I mean, if God's the father of all and all men are brothers, which is a deep truth, first article truth, but that religion has no need for Christ whatsoever. And that's really the dominant religion about 1900 in the world's greatest university, Berlin University, Humboldt University. That's where Zassa was trained in the early teens, just before World War I. And the greatest theologian was Adolf von Harnack. And he had written a book called Das Wesen des Christentums, The Essence of Christianity. And that's basically what he asserted. Paul's religion is kind of a made-up mixture of Jewish sacrificial ideas and pagan mythology. And fundamentally, religion is finally morality, ethics. So there's no room for a divine Jesus, a divine Christ. There's no room for sacraments as anything significant, as purveyors of forgiveness, real forgiveness. There's no. So that was the predominant religion going on in universities. And that was on top of another very key event in 1817, which led to the founding of the Missouri Synod, and that was the Prussian king whose royal family had gone back already to 1613, I mean, just decades after the Reformation occurred, he went from Lutheranism to Reformed theology and converted by taking the sacrament in the Reformed manner, according to the Reformed Confession, in the Berlin Dome, the great Reformation church, which you can see in Berlin now. It was across the street from the castle. And then he tried to make all of Prussia reformed. Prussia had 7,000 Lutheran churches and about 24 Reformed churches. But nevertheless, he pushed it through. He was a liturgical dilettante. He was a rationalist. He was a pietist. Didn't really have room for absolute dogma or the New Testament's absolutes as far as what must be believed. And then he pushed together a union church. And that meant that the growing Prussian state, which continued to grow and swallow up state after state in Germany through the 19th century, pushed this union religion, which said, you can either believe in Calvinism or Lutheranism, potato, potato. What's important is we're all evangelical. That's why they call it the Evangelical Church. You can have Luther's Catechism if you want, but have the Heidelberg Catechism if you want. You can believe in Christ's body and blood and the sacrament. You can reject it if you want. We just are all in this together. And that, as Zasa came to learn, is the death of Lutheranism. And so, ironically, this Prussian Union caused a revival of genuine Lutheranism. People went back to the sources. One famous opponent said, consummate this union over the bones of Luther in Wittenberg, and woe to you, they will rise up. And ironically, Prussia had gotten control of Wittenberg just before the union in 1817. And what did they do? They couldn't have real Lutheranism, so they closed Luther's university, moved it to Halle.
What was Zasa's response to the state?
Well, he was a faithful military man. He served as a chaplain in the military as a young man. He was in one of the most famous and bloody battles of the war, Flanders. He was coming with 5 other men, coming back. His unit had been wiped out of 100 men, only 5 left. And he told this years later to Hanno Kadi at our Springfield Seminary at the time when he was given an honorary doctorate and people were commending him. But he said, when I was walking back from the front, some guy greeted him and said, Lieutenant Zasa, we buried you yesterday with full military honors. But going into World War I, he was very optimistic. He had this religion that didn't need a sacrifice for sins that I told you about earlier, didn't need a divine Christ. He said, we went into the trenches reading Pindar and Sophocles, the Greek poets, but we came out reading our Greek New Testaments because we had seen the deep depravity of man and the hopelessness of a sinful world without Christ. He was ordained, and I suppose over against government, the most specific moment was he was the first guy. I've got this little book here called The Third Reich and the Christian Churches by Peter Matheson, and the first reference is to the Nazi Party platform of 1920, which Hitler said declared to be unchangeable from 1926 on. Article 24 of the platform: we insist upon freedom for all religious confessions in the state, providing they do not endanger its existence or offend the German race's sense of decency and morality. The party as such stands for a positive Christianity without binding itself denominationally to a particular confession. It fights against the Jewish materialistic spirit at home and abroad and believes that any lasting recovery of our people must be based on the spiritual principle. The welfare of the community comes before that of the individual. Now, if you understand what they're really saying, it's chilling. But Zasa responds to this based upon the Lutheran doctrine of original sin. About this article, Sasse writes, and he wrote this in the Churchly Yearbook for all of Germany, went to all Protestant pastors. About this article, however, no discussion at all is possible, for the Protestant church would have to begin such a discussion with a frank admission that its doctrine constitutes a deliberate, permanent insult to the, quote, German race's sense of decency and morality, unquote, and hence she can have no expectation of tolerance in the Third Reich, unquote. According to the Protestant doctrine of original sin, the newborn infant of the noblest German descent, endowed in body and mind with the optimal racial characteristics, is as much subject to eternal damnation as the genetically gravely compromised half-caste from two decadent races, and we must go on to confess that the doctrine of the justification of the sinner sola gratia, sola fide, is the end of Germanic morality, just as it is the end of all human morality. We are not much interested in whether the party gives its support to Christianity, but we would like to know whether the church is to be permitted to preach the gospel in the Third Reich without let or hindrance, whether, that is, we will be able to continue undisturbed with our insults to the Germanic or Germanistic moral sense, as with God's help, we intend to do.
There you go.
That what was 1932,
wow.
Just before Hitler took over full, upon Hindenburg's death, took over full control of the government.
What is that legacy of Hermann Zassa then today, as we study theology in our churches, through KFUO programs? What is that legacy that we still have this influence of such a great theologian today in our study of God's Word?
Well, the lines of influence are many and different and somewhat complex at times. Mm-hmm. I think regarding this quotation, it's this. Jean Edward Veith wrote a beautiful book called Modern Fascism. And today, the left calls the right fascists very commonly. When I'm on pro-life marches, a lot of times Chicago, anti-fascist screaming out F-word, just total vile, and we're walking along praying and singing, I am Jesus' little lamb. It's really quite fun. But Ed Veith points out that Hitler and the Nazis did not believe in a transcendent God to whom we're all accountable and all equally valuable. And based upon Nietzsche's philosophy especially, that God really is totally imminent, totally, and you know who has God by who has the most power. And consequently, there's no transcendent morality. There's no universal value of human life. And it's precisely this kind of philosophy, this fascism that becomes modern fascism, which says that some lives are not worthy of living for utilitarian purposes or because they are a draw in society, etc. So that comes right to our own world that way.
Why is it important that we still have clear proclamation of God's word, just as Sasse did? Why is it important that we still have that today in our pulpits, on KFUO, from everywhere that you find the LCMS and our sister churches?
We are lost without it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love the world. Is there anybody, man, woman, or child, who is excluded from that divine love? Is there anybody? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Is there anybody excluded from that? Anybody? No matter who they are? What they've done? The church's fundamental preaching of the gospel is the call to repentance to all of us sinners, every one of us. There is absolutely no racial preference. New Testament is utterly crystal clear on this. God shows no favoritism. God is no respecter of persons. Peter preaches after he has his incident with Cornelius and he's called upon to eat of all the different animals and not make distinctions, the old kosher distinctions. God is no respecter of persons, James says. The Greek word there is no receiver of faces, prosolepsia. God is not a receiver of faces. Doesn't matter what your face is. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're disabled. Doesn't matter what color your face is. Doesn't matter if your face is distorted. Does not matter. Christ is for all. Without that reality, that's why we preach to those across the gender sexual spectrum. We preach the same thing we preach to everybody. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. At times of refreshing may come and your sins be washed away.
We've been blessed by God to be able to broadcast that gospel of Jesus Christ to listeners around the world for over 100 years now. And we're approaching Share-a-thon coming up April 30th through May 2nd. What would you say to listeners who have been generously supporting KFUO through Share-a-thon and throughout the year?
Thank you so much. The touch nowadays through technology is just magnificent. KFUO gives to all of our people, believers in our church, outside, missionaries, others, new Christians. It's just phenomenal. So thank you so much. What you make happen is truly fabulous.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Harrison, thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. I don't see any coffee.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Every day, someone hears exactly the word of Christ they need because KFUO Radio was there. From Bible studies to sacred music to conversations that strengthen your faith, this Lutheran broadcast ministry is a lifeline. Share-a-thon is April 30th to May 2nd. Join us as we share stories, celebrate God's work, and invite you to support the ministry that supports you. Find out more at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
KFUO Share-a-thon is April 30th through May 2nd. It's a time of gratitude, stories, and opportunities to give. Joining us now with a preview of what is to come in Share-a-thon 2026, Mary Schmidt, KFUO Director of Development. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Andy.
Thanks for joining us in studio. And the Reverend Doug Gribenaugh, he's your afternoon music host and KFUO Mission Advocate. Pastor Gribenaugh, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here, brothers and sisters.
So we are excited. Share-a-thon's like a big family reunion for us.
Yes, it is.
The studio's packed, lots of fun, but we also get to connect with so many of our listeners and supporters during that time, April 30th through May 2nd. It's an opportunity to give, and we're going to share some stories too, and some gratitude as well. What are the ways to give during Share-a-thon?
Well, you know, the traditional methods are, you know, you could call in during our Share-a-thon event. You can make your pledge and make a gift right there through the credit card, or say, you know, I'm going to mail a check to you guys. Also, we send out our direct mail appeal, so it has a little coupon. But the thing is, if you want to make a gift by the credit card, we really encourage you to go to our website, kfuo.org. In the top menu bar, click on the Share-a-thon banner, and we have a really great little form there, right there online. You can make that gift. Or a new thing this year is an option to make a pledge right there in that form. You don't have to make the fulfillment right now, because I know, you know, sometimes money's a little tight, but you do want to support KFUO because you love hearing that gospel and you love sharing that gospel. So now you can go online before Share-a-thon or even after and fill out that form and say, you know, I'm ready to make a pledge. I'm ready to support you guys. I love the gospel. I love what you do. And I will be making that commitment at a later date.
I know you guys have put a lot of work into making sure that that process is seamless and headache-free to make sure our listeners can give their donations or their pledges easily. So that I know you guys have done a lot of hard work to make that happen. What are some ways to give beyond just a regular check or credit card? I hear there's some other ways to give too.
So this year we are emphasizing
that in addition to the regular ways of giving through check or through credit card, that when you make your pledge, you can actually fulfill this through other means, which one of the big ones is through IRAs or a donor advised fund or through your qualified charitable distribution.
That explains all these letters I see in front of me.
There's so many letters on the paper in front of me.
I had to think about that.
And I do not know what they mean. So I'm glad you guys
know
what they mean.
Well, and I'll be honest, we actually have a couple of really great folks from the LCMS that are working with us, Josh Douglas and Mike Fisher, and they are the bona fide experts on this. So if you have any questions about an IRA gift or a qualified minimum distribution, maybe a donor advised fund, anything like that, give us a call and we'll connect you with them. Or on our website, again, there's a place where you can send them an email and say, I have a question. Can you help me with this? And they would love to do it. They're really great guys.
So this is a way to really make the most of your investments. So you can also invest in KFUO.
Yeah, you can leverage what you have, what the Lord has entrusted to you, and leverage that for the proclamation of the gospel around the world.
Now, the ways to do that, there's a form online to do that, correct? To make that pledge.
That's right. There is that form on our Share-a-thon website, kfuo.org, and then the Share-a-thon banner. You can make that pledge. And at the bottom of that form, because it's not going to ask you for any of your credit card information when you're making a pledge, but we will say, you know, how would you like to fulfill this? And you can say, you know, QCD, any of those acronyms, or you can even just say, I'll send you a check later on. And we know you're good for it.
So the key is at the top of the form, what you click. There are two options at the top of the form.
Yeah,
one is pledge, right?
They're fancy little things called radio buttons. And yeah,
yes.
Well, you click on those first and then you say, I'm going to make a pledge. Won't ask you for any of your credit card information. Or you say, I'm going to make a gift. And that's when the system will say, okay, well, let us know. How would you like to make this gift? You can do it all at once. Or you can even sign up to have a monthly donation, 12 little installments of whatever it is that you're giving. And it's pretty seamless and hopefully pain-free.
So if you click gift, you're making a gift now or making a gift over the year with credit card or check or something like that.
Whatever works for you.
If you're pledging, that means that you're looking at one of these, making use of one of your investments and going from there.
Or maybe you're just waiting until that tax return and
Got
say,
it.
Hey, I'll write you a check now.
Yep, it is that season.
Very good. So you can give online. You can call in during Share-a-thon. We still have text to give, right?
We do still have text to give. And we also will answer the phone. You know, call us before Share-a-thon. Call us after Share-a-thon. We'll be happy to work with you.
Very good. So all these are great ways to give. Why is it so important to support KFUO, especially during this time of Share-a-thon?
The fact is that right now, someone is hearing the pure gospel on KFUO radio. And that ongoing proclamation is sustained by God's grace and by our brothers and sisters in Christ, our listeners, who value that word of salvation and want it to be shared freely around the world. And we've been doing it for 100 years, so we have no intention of stopping now, but we are looking for your support to make that legacy continue of sharing Christ for you. Literally anytime and anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of difference does listener support make for KFUO?
It makes a huge difference. We are not able to broadcast unless we really have support. God blesses KFUO through our donors, and they help make it possible for us to continue broadcasting. And like Pastor Grebenos said, people all over the world are hearing Christ for you for the first time, or they're having their faith renewed and renourished daily. And this is very important. So your support is wonderful. It does take about $1.8 million to run KFUO Radio every year. And this year, our goal for Share-a-thon is to raise about $500,000 by May 2nd.
That's a noble goal.
Yeah.
And we have very faithful and supportive listeners.
We do.
So I hope you'll join us in supporting KFUO during Share-a-thon 2026. Now, we mentioned that there will be stories and it's a time of gratitude as well. Let's talk about that gratitude and the thank you gifts. I know it's not the focus of Share-a-thon, but we have some fun thank you gifts this year as well. So what do you want to begin with when it comes to thank you items?
Well, we have, as we do every year, we have a couple different levels. And depending on which level you are able to support at, you'll get a thank you gift from us for our appreciation. At the $120 level, we have our
chip clips. We have a KFUO chip clip and a Lutheran Lady chip clip, and yes, they are very strong and sturdy.
They are. They're on my fridge right now. They're excellent.
With magnets on the back, so yeah, they will work on the fridge.
They will.
At our next level, which is $300 or $25 a month, you'll get a KFUO t-shirt. This year is in marigold, which is like a sunshiny yellow.
It's very happy.
It's very happy, very happy. We also have our, you have two options. You can get the KFUO shirt or the Lutheran Lady shirt. Mm-hmm. So you get an option there as well. At $480, which is $40 a month, we have our day sponsorship. And this is a great way to support KFUO and honor someone in your family or a loved one. It's very fun. I do the day sponsorship announcements, so I enjoy getting to talk with all of those people. At our $780 level or $65 a month, you have the option of getting a men's dress shirt, a green button-up, nice long sleeve shirt that says KFUO Radio. Or you can also get our women's Lutheran Lady cardigan, which is great. It fits really nicely. We got the sample, and I have been wearing it for like 2 weeks straight because I love it. And it says Lutheran Lady on it as well. And then what's new this year, or what we've kind of added on, is at our $1,200 level or $100 a month. Last year we did Church of the Week, where you can give a gift back to your church. We've also added on District of the Week, so you can also support your district. So if you give a gift to KFUO, KFUO will then give a week to the district of your choosing.
It's really a great way to share how the love of Christ is being shared in your district, in your congregation, in your community, and really just to sort of highlight the impact that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is having for people all around.
And we do love sharing those stories.
We do. And all of these items are great ways to start a conversation. What is KFUO? Oh, you're a Lutheran. What is that? These are wonderful ways to start that conversation about who we are, who is Christ, what has Christ done for us. They do help, and they are, mm-hmm, we hope that you will take some of these gifts.
Yeah, and those conversations do happen. It happened to me at my church. We had a visitor, and I was wearing my KFUO vest, and this gentleman asked, what is KFUO? So I got to tell him what we do and give him a business card and a pen, and it was excellent. So these things really do happen out in the wild.
I'm impressed you had your business cards and pens with you.
Keep one with me just for those occasions. And a random pen. I don't know where it came from. If there's one thing you guys want to say to our KFUO listeners today, what is that?
I would say if you have been wanting to support KFUO Radio, and you really love what we do, this is a great year to step in and just make the pledge. Make that pledge during Share-a-thon. You can fulfill it later in whatever way that works for you, in whatever vehicle that is available to you, to leverage the gifts God has given to you. Because your participation, your support, is what keeps this gospel proclamation going, free around the world for any and everyone to hear of Christ for them and for you. Anytime and anywhere.
You can visit KFUO.org, click on the Share-a-thon banner. You can find out more. You can see pictures of those thank you gifts as well at the KFUO.org website. Click on the Share-a-thon banner. You can listen and join us during Share-a-thon 2026, April 30th, May 1st, May 2nd. That's coming up very soon. April 30th, May 1st, and May 2nd. Join us for Share-a-thon 2026. In studio with us today, Mary Schmidt, KFUO Director of Development. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And the Reverend Doug Gribenaugh, your afternoon music host and KFUO Mission Advocate. Thanks, Pastor Gribenaugh. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, and God's peace to all of you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.